Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
On NFL Live, there are just 84 days until kickoffs. We bring you the best from number 84, Randy Moss. We're talking straight cash, homie. Plus, if the season does kick off as expected, the league will have health concerns to focus on. We get the latest on the NFL's plan to keep everyone protected. And many new voices speaking up on Colin Kaepernick's potential return to the league. What has the reaction been? Is he finally ready to be on an NFL roster?
What needs to happen with Colin Kaepernick and the NFL?
First and foremost, they need to have a sit down. They need to bring him in there. They need to tell him face to face everything that they said vocally, that they said publicly. Just moving forward, we're giving him a real opportunity to be in this league.
If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support the club making that decision, and encourage them to do that.
Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. A talent of that caliber that's available. I would think most teams would explore that.
I hope somebody gives him a chance to play football again because, you know, I feel like he still can play the game at a high level.
I always felt like Cap was the kind of guy that was a starting quarterback. Had we had that opportunity, he would have been possibly a great fit with us.
I mean, he was a starting quarterback, a Super Bowl quarterback in this league. I think it would be crazy to not have him on the workout list. He definitely would be someone that if something happened, maybe we bring him in. I don't know.
Hello, welcome into another edition of NFL Live, along with Diana Rossini and Dan Orlovsky. I'm Field Yates. Booger McFarland will join us in just a little bit. In 2012, Colin Kaepernick took the 49ers to Super Bowl 47, the first year he even made an NFL start. Now, fast forward to week 4 of the 2016 preseason, still the Niners starter, Kaepernick and safety Eric Reed first kneel during the national anthem. Kaepernick opted out of his contract later that offseason as the 49ers planned to release him anyways with a new coach and new GM coming in, but no team called during free agency. As Kaep remained out of the NFL, players around the league began to kneel in solidarity. In 2018, the league banned kneeling. "We want to be respectful of the anthem," Commissioner Roger Goodell said, although just a month later, they backed off. In March 2019, the NFL reached a settlement in the collusion case against Kaepernick and Eric Reed, who was released by the Panthers earlier this offseason. Months later, the NFL held a workout for Kaepernick. 7 teams attended, but Kaepernick wasn't happy with the process. Here's what President Donald Trump had to say about his opportunities going forward.
If he deserves it, he should. If he has the playing ability, his playing wasn't up to snuff. The answer is absolutely I would. As far as kneeling, I would love to see him get another shot, but obviously he has to be able to play well. If he can't play well, I think it would be very unfair.
Diana, we'll start with you, and we'll start right there. We heard what the president had to say, and you were on that Anthony Lynn Zoom call we saw a video from earlier. Take us through what people in the league are saying in terms of potentially working out Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, let's start with the Chargers, right? Because Anthony Lynn really started that press conference yesterday taking questions about Colin Kaepernick and almost talking in a way like, obviously you're going to work out Colin Kaepernick. How could you not? This is a guy who led a team to the Super Bowl. Almost like forgetting the last 3 seasons, he didn't get any opportunities. He only had his workout, 6-7 months ago, and that really resulted in nothing. So for the league right now, the way it really seems in terms of the tone, I can't find a team, an organization specifically that wants to bring him in. But when I ask about, do they think other teams would be interested, it's never just, Colin Kaepernick's going to get a workout. It's Colin Kaepernick's going to get worked out, plural. Meaning it really seems at this point that the league has changed its tune with being open to having Colin Kaepernick work out and possibly join a team.
Certainly feels like a lot of people are in that camp. And Dan, you've noticed a bit of a trend with what people's excuses or maybe even misconceptions are surrounding a potential return for Kaepernick. So let's narrow it down to your top 3.
Yeah, I would say number one field, it's the time away from football. He's going to have 4 years away from the game, and that's obviously a long period of time, and that's a misconception. That's probably going to allow people to use it to have some pause. Number two would be that he may not fit. That what scheme is he going to fit into, where there's not a place or a team that he can go into? And then three, is there a quote-unquote distraction that Cap would bring to your organization and or your locker room?
Well, you're right, Dan, and I do wonder this year, with no fans most likely at training camps and limited media, Diana, do you think that the amount of impact that a signing of Colin Kaepernick would have this year is mitigated by those circumstances relative to where we would have been in a normal NFL year?
Yeah, that's always what makes this so interesting. And look, from the league as a whole right now, I sense so much frustration talking to players, coaches, GMs, about where we're at right now, which is we don't know anything. So even some of those teams that I reached out to just about a workout involving Colin Kaepernick, they wind up asking me questions like, well, when can we actually work him out if we want to do that? How is this going to work? So right now, everyone's just sharing information, trying to figure out in this COVID-19 environment that we're in, how it's really going to play out. And in terms of Colin Kaepernick, from the business side of this, I think the reality is there's going to be fans, if he were to sign with a team, that are going to probably not want to be part of it. But I also think, based on this movement that we've seen, which has been so impactful, organizations are certainly going to gain more fans. So there's definitely going to be an advantage to signing Colin Kaepernick if it was to get that far.
Yeah, both sides of the coin, if you will. So, Dan, you gave us their list of three. Now let's get through the points to basically debunk all of those threes. The floor is yours, my friend.
All right, so let's attack number one, the time away from football. It's been 4 years, or it will be 4 years. And so I want to talk about Michael Vick. And take away that they're different players, they're different athletes. Michael Vick is the superior talent. But Michael Vick went 2 years away from football. That's 24 months. He went 21 months in prison and then came back a third year, sat. He went 44 months. In between starts. His first year back starting, he went for almost 4,000 yards, 63% completion, 28 touchdowns accounted for. That's almost a four-year span. And so the time away from Cap for Cap isn't that big a deal. Michael Vick was around 30. Colin Kaepernick is around 32 years old. So I don't look at the time away as this inclimbable mountain for Colin Kaepernick. Number two, when it comes to fit, if we want to remember what Colin Kaepernick was as a player, we only have to look back to last year and watch what Lamar Jackson was with the Baltimore Ravens to say, can he be a scheme fit schematically? Look what the Ravens did. Now imagine Hayden Hurst, number 81, as a slot receiver. They played with three tight ends, so they had a lot of people in the backfield. Bring him back. Now what you're going to have is him as a lead blocker out into the alley. The backside tight end is also going to be a lead blocker. And then your tailback is going to be a traditional downhill zone read back. Now, what Greg Roman did with Lamar Jackson was give him a simple read on that linebacker. If the linebacker flows outside, well, it's just going to be a downhill run game. You get a numbers advantage, and it's a big opportunity for you to pound the football. But you teach Lamar Jackson, hey, if that linebacker attacks the tailback, well, you just go keep it, and you take it up the alley and follow those lead blockers. This is something we saw the Ravens used so much last year that really took the NFL over and by storm. But I want to go back years ago because Greg Roman was doing this with Colin Kaepernick in the 49ers. You see the backside tight end. He's your wraparound lead blocker, tailback on the dive, and now that slot receiver out on the edge. And they taught Colin Kaepernick the same thing. If that linebacker flows outside, Cap, go downhill and give this to the tailback and let's pound a rock. But if that linebacker decides to take that tailback, well, you keep it and you use your athleticism to go up the hashes. See what that linebacker does. He attacks the tailback. You've got a lead blocker up front, and here comes Colin Kaepernick around the edge with the slot receiver blocking for a huge run. So when we say, does he fit in the NFL? Man, he was the guy doing it before Lamar was. And I would say the Seattle Seahawks with Brian Schottenheimer because he did it with the Jets and Brad Smith. I'd say the Houston Texans with their offensive line coach, Mike Devlin, because he was with the Jets. Anthony Lynn and the Chargers because his time with Greg Roman and Rex Ryan. And then fourth, the Baltimore Ravens and Greg Roman. And so there's a lot of opportunity fit-wise for Colin Kaepernick. And then lastly, the distraction piece. This is going to be a conversation for the NFL no matter if Colin Kaepernick is in the league or not this year. This is not anything that is going away, nor should it. And so we've got superstars that are already outspoken and saying they themselves are going to be the ones kneeling. So I don't buy the distraction thing. This is going to be a conversation, as it should be, for the NFL all season, whether Cap's in it or not.
Dan, honestly, there are times where I wonder if the longer that Colin Kaepernick is not signed by an NFL team, that actually causes more conversation surrounding him. I think if he got a shot, perhaps we could move the football down the field with this conversation. So while Cap's return to football remains up in the air for now, he does have a new off-field project. On Thursday, Medium announced that Kaepernick had joined the company's board and will be partnering with the company to create content for a new vertical focused on race and prison reform. The NBA returns to action in Orlando next month, and they've put in place a series of protocols, including a two-week rest period for positive tests. The MLS also returns next month in Orlando, and players will be tested every other day, and they'll play in the early morning and late night to avoid the hot Florida sun. NHL players report back for camp on July 10th, as the league will play a 24-team playoff tournament between two host cities. The PGA reopened with their first tournament this past weekend. Officials advise golfers to, quote, create a bubble around themselves. And the NFL, 28 teams are tentatively set to open camp on July 28th. But we are now just 49 days away from the Hall of Fame game scheduled between the Steelers and the Cowboys. Dr. Anthony Fauci touched on the NFL's return recently, telling CNN unless players are essentially in a bubble, insulated from the community, and they are tested nearly every day, it will be very hard to see if football is able to be played this fall. If there is a second wave, which is certainly a possibility and which will be complicated by the predictable flu season, football may not happen this year. The NFL's chief medical officer, Alan Sills, responded, Dr. Fauci had identified the important health and safety issues we and the NFL Players Association, together with our joint medical advisors, are addressing to mitigate the health risks to players, coaches, and other essential personnel. We are developing a comprehensive and rapid result testing program and rigorous protocols that call for a shared responsibility from everyone inside our football ecosystem. This is based on the collective guidance of public health officials, including the White House Task Force, the CDC, infectious disease experts, and other sports leagues. Make no mistake, this is no easy task. We will make adjustments as necessary to meet the public health environment as we prepare to play the 2020 season as scheduled, with increased protocols and safety measures for all players, personnel, and attendees. We will be flexible and adaptable in this environment to adjust to the virus as needed. That's a lot there, and we are glad to now welcome Booger. But let's start with you, Diana. What are you hearing about the state of football and health concerns?
Well, you just read that long statement from the league, from Dr. Sills, their chief medical officer. But I just wanted to make sure to add there that the league also does not think that a bubble would be practical or needed. They're really trying to push testing and education. And this has really been the tone the whole time, in terms of how the league was going to approach this. Never was it ever spoken or at least said to me in conversations with sources with the league that they were going to move this season, cancel this season. All that was never even discussed. So where we're at now is today the competition committee is going to meet with the players' union medical staff along with the league medical staff, and they're just going to have conversations about what the protocols are going to look like come training camp. There are still tons and tons of questions that need to be answered. We heard Rams head coach Sean McVay even say today in a Zoom call, he's like, so you want us to social distance, but you also want us to play football. How is this going to work? And that pretty sums up everyone's big question on how this is going to go. So I think it's really going to start with these dialogues of these as they continue to try to share ideas on how this can work best and safely for every single player and staff member.
So, Dan, it doesn't sound like a bubble is really within the realm of possibilities right now. But if we ever got down that road, would you be okay with playing in a bubble based off what we have learned about how the NBA setup might actually look?
Heck yes. I only have so many years to make the kind of money that you make as an NFL football player. There's a couple of things that people need to realize. One, the average NFL career is about 3 or 4 years. So is the option, if the options are only don't play this season or play in a bubble, a great majority of those guys are going to say absolutely, because I'm not going to get this year back. I don't want to lose this year. Two, 60% of the NFL, more than 60% of the NFL, is league minimum salary guys. And again, how many opportunities are guys going to get within 1 year to make that amount of money? Most guys, it takes 10 years to recoup that money that you make as 1 year, one season in an NFL player. And so, the reality is that if you tell most guys, hey, for 150 days, you're going to have to figure out potentially how to bubble yourself or quarantine yourself away from your family, all of them are going to say, yep, I'm there. So, I mean, if I told everybody, hey, for $3 million, for 150 days, you got to go be by yourself, everyone's going to be like, sign me up. Where do I got to go? My wife would tell me, do not come home. And so, you know, I think that the reality is that if the options are only don't play or do it in that capacity, it's do it in that capacity. And I don't necessarily think that it has to be one bubble for the whole league. I mean, we could have 32 bubbles, right, where, you know, teams quarantine themselves. If you look at it, season's about 150 days long. You know, staffs are and players and equipment people are about 120 people. Let's say on average, each day costs a team $500 per person per day to quarantine them and feed them, to create their own little bubble. That's about $9 million for the season. NFL teams bring in about $250 million of revenue a year. So if that's what they have to do to get this season to play, every owner's going to say yes. Every coach is going to say yes, and every player is going to say yes, because it gives them the opportunity to recoup that money.
You know, I think Dan makes a really good point about recouping the money and things of that nature. I just don't think it's feasible to do. You know, when you look at the amount of players and we compare to what the NBA is doing, you look at 22 teams, each team is bringing 30 to 35 people. One NFL team is roughly 125 people times 32, and basketball is doing that to finish their season. Football season is a long time. We're talking about being in a bubble from basically training camp to the Super Bowl for two teams. That is a long time to be in a bubble, to go without seeing people you love, family, kids, et cetera. I think the NBA can do it based on where they are in their season. They only have a few regular season games left, and in the postseason, then they're going to start to eliminate teams. Football hasn't even started. So while it sounds great on the surface, to me, it would be almost impossible to pull off and do from training camp to Super Bowl in a bubble.
Well, Booger, one thing that's going to be unavoidable, whether we have a bubble or no bubble, is that there's going to have to be locker rooms for players. How would you feel about returning to a locker room where there's a lot of people in a very confined space?
Well, it just depends on my family situation. If I'm living with people that are at risk that have symptoms, I'm going to be very hesitant. I am now, to go out and do different things and then bring whatever you catch outside of the home back into the home. So every family situation is going to be different. You're going to get some rookies that are coming into the league that live by themselves. They just want to play. They don't care about anything else. They just want to get out there. So it's really going to be dependent upon your situation, who lives with you, who you come in contact with. The locker room is always been a safe haven, but for guys to come in there and be themselves and have some sense of normalcy, it would be really tough amidst COVID-19 right now.
Certainly would be. Let's move along. And new on NFL Live from our Rams reporter, Lindsay Theory. The NFL announced today that Hard Knocks will be featured, but both the L.A. Rams and Chargers this season. It is scheduled to debut on August 11th. The series is scheduled for 5 episodes. Dan, our resident former Ram, what are your thoughts here on the double L.A. Hard Knocks edition?
Well, good thing that Jared Goff has been in the NFL for a couple years and he won't have to relive the where the sun rises situation. I'm sure he's going to like hearing about that. But, you know, obviously it's you know, to have both those teams be a part of it. You know, one team is somewhat rebuilding and one team has got a hopefully potential superstar quarterback that's going to give him the opportunity to break out of his shell. So, listen, Hard Knocks is an incredible series. I look forward to it every training camp. It'll look a little bit different to us. It'll look a little bit different to those teams. But I'm excited that there's going to be a season.
Sean McVay has already suggested that tight end Tyler Higbee could be a breakout star in Hard Knocks. Come on.
Higgs.
Plenty more on
Higgs
NFL
is the best,
Live.
Man.
Okay, I'll
Higgs
take it.
Higgs is the best.
I'll take it from Sean McVay and Dan Orlovsky.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, time to play a little game of straight cash, homie, with some of the players that are lining up to get paid. Will it be straight cash, homie? Pay them now, or no cash, homie? Wait this one out a little bit longer. Let's start with Jets safety Jamal Adams, who posted this response to a fan on Instagram, ending it with, maybe it's time to move on, and speaking about contract negotiation. So, Booger, given the contentious nature of the Jets and Adams this offseason, straight cash, homie, or no cash, homie?
Straight cash, homie. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys that believes that there's certain positions you can't play. I believe you pay players and not positions, and you pay those that are impact players. And Jamal Adams is definitely an impact player. You're talking about a safety that can cover. He can cover a tight end. He can cover running back, but he can also come down in the box and be a run enforcer. So you're basically getting two players in one. Although playing center field is not his best, that's what Marcus May does. This guy just makes plays. He's an impact player. So I do not believe that you let impact players go. Pay the man. Straight cash, homie.
Okay, Dan, we've been waiting all offseason for your thoughts on Dak Prescott. Straight cash, homie, or no cash, homie?
You haven't been paying attention then, dude. Listen, I'm going no cash. Not a $35 million. Can we maybe do like a payment plan or something? Like, I'm okay paying Dak some kind of money, right? He's deserved that. He's earned that kind of money. But I can't shell out cash at $35 million. Like, can I do a payment plan where it works for my benefit just as much as it works for your benefit? I don't see Dak as this guy that you give the blank check to and you feel great about that. If there's a number that Dak is comfortable with around the 30 range, I'm a lot more comfortable with that, and we can set up a good payment plan, but no cash only for me on Dak.
You know, Dan, here's what I can't believe, that you're okay with paying Jared Goff, you're okay with paying Carson Wentz, but when Dak Prescott wants his money, when he's earned his money, when he's outplayed those two guys the last 4 years and his contract has expired, to me, yeah, Dak has earned his money. Now, you may disagree with the amount and where he falls in line, but he is a franchise quarterback for probably the most profitable team in America. I mean, the man deserves his money. Now, 35 may make you uncomfortable, but he's earned that.
Okay, a couple things on that, Boog. I don't necessarily disagree with the Jared Goff comparison. Now, Jared Goff in his first 2 years as a starter took his team to the Super Bowl, and we could argue teams and all that stuff and whatnot. He threw for 60 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. He led the league in
who's
passing.
Who's a better
Dak
player?
Has done that. But probably Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott. But the Carson Wentz comparison is not one. You can throw your advanced analytics, Mina Kimes stats as me all you want. Last year, there was a vast difference in both what guys had to work with. One guy performed, one guy didn't. We can go for the whole show on that. Listen, I'm not saying don't pay Dak Prescott at all. What I'm saying is you can't pay Dak Prescott, who's a good player, great player money, and expect him to become a great player. He's only been a good player. He's had a Hall of Fame running back, the best offensive line maybe ever in 2016, a top 10 defense, 3 out of his 4 year starters. They've been top 10 rushing every year. He's had a bona fide number one receiver each year. So, like, you want to shell out that money, Boog, go ahead. But I'm not going to do that. That's no cash for me.
We could probably keep this conversation going until
without a doubt.
July 15th. Maybe even Labor Day. But we got to get to Diana on Jalen Ramsey, because Jalen Ramsey has all the leverage, Diana, with the Rams. But is there any progress? And should it be straight cash, homie, or no cash, homie?
Well, full disclosure, I had a drive to Connecticut to go to Orlovsky's house to get some of these hundies.
Oh, my goodness.
I certainly don't have any of these. This is straight cash. And let's just go back to when they traded for
straight cash, homie.
What they gave up. And if you remember during all of that, it was very sound in terms of what was going on between the organization and Jalen Ramsey's people in terms of that contract extension. Everyone in the spirit of the contract believes that this is going to happen. This is going to get done. He's going to be the highest paid corner in the league because he has been very vocal. That is what he wants to be. And it seems that when the Rams did this, this is exactly what they signed up for. Now, the reason why I think this gets done, yes, I do think he deserves it. I do think he's the best corner in the league. He has proved that. But I think that for Sean McVay and Les Snead, the importance to make sure that they follow through. Everyone is watching to see if they're going to be able to take care of him because they said they were going to. So I think this is important for the organization. Despite the fact that we know they have some cap issues there and they have some problems there with their money, they need to do the right thing, which is why I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be paid.
Yeah, Diana, the reason that the Rams are in the situation they're in right now is because they did what you just did. They just got reckless with their money. You know, who holds up like $1,000 on television and is reckless with their money like that? Jalen's going to get paid by the Rams. I don't think it's going to be now, but I wish I had that much money. You've got like a big diamond ring and all that cash to spend in like the last month. It must be good.
Well, it's fake, and the money came from your kid's piggy bank, so I just snagged it right from there, their college funds, and that was all fake money that I printed anyway. So either way, the moral of the story here is Jalen Ramsey is going to get his cash.
I just emptied out my wallet, and I found $7. Anyways, let's move along here. Booger, Dalvin Cook wants a new deal in Minnesota. Straight cash, homie, or no cash, homie?
Oh, it's definitely straight cash. And I know everyone's out there. Don't pay the running back. The running back position has gone down. Look at the system. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. I'm not worried about paying positions. I pay guys that are impact players. And when you look at what Mike Zimmer wants to do, Zimmer fired an offensive coordinator in John DeFilippo because he didn't run the football enough. Zimmer wants to run the football. They are a play action team with Kirk Cousins. You've already taken care of Kirk Cousins, who's the quarterback. Who, if Dan is going by Dan's theory, Kirk Cousins is just a good player. He's not a great player, and they've already paid him a ton of money. So why wouldn't you pay the running back who's the focal point of that offense? So, Dan Orlovsky, please tell me your theory about Kirk Cousins and your good money, great money to good player theory, because to me that doesn't fly with him.
Well, they've only paid him good money. They haven't paid him. Haven't made him the most paid, highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I would disagree again with Booger here. As good as Dalvin Cook is, Alexander Mattison, when he's had to play, has been really good. And so that scheme is notorious for plug-and-play tailbacks. I would not overpay for Dalvin Cook.
You don't want to pay anybody, do you, Orlovsky? You just want to keep all the money in like a little kitty bank and set it to the side.
You want to pay the kickers. You want to pay kickers and punters. Positions don't matter. This guy is the best at what he does. Let's him make him the highest-paid player in the league.
Here's my issue with all of this, guys, especially with Booger's theory. So many of these backs want to be paid for what they did. That's not how this works. You're going to get paid for what you can do. And we know the health issues with running backs. We know how overused they are. Their production levels are going to go down. So, you know, and on top of that, you've seen Dalvin Cook's history. I'm with you, Booger. I want to see Dalvin get paid, especially considering we know this offense needs him. Kirk Cousins should actually be taking a piece of his contract and writing him a check because he knows he's going to need him. I'm not sold that the Vikings are going to make this move.
It'll be interesting. Certainly Dalvin Cook performed last season, but when I come back as an NFL player in my future life, my first free agent visit will be with Team Booger. Orlovsky, I'm staying away. You're hoarding all the money, man. None of that selfishness is allowed here on NFL Live. Most quarterbacks don't have to think about job security in the offseason after reaching a Super Bowl, but that wasn't the case for Jimmy Garoppolo. When Tom Brady announced he was leaving New England, rumors swirled that he'd end up with his hometown team. Here's what Jimmy G said to Matt Barrows of The Athletic about the 49ers' interest in Brady. It's the NFL. There's competition. Everyone's trying to put the best team together they can. And that's just the reality of it. The one thing I can say about the whole situation was Kyle and John were very honest with me the whole time. That's their job, to put the best team together possible, and you've got to respect that. So as long as the honesty and truthfulness is there, I respect those guys, I love those guys, and it's going to be a fun year this year. Diana, do you think that the 49ers are actually fully sold on Jimmy G?
No. I don't think they are, and I don't think people in the league think they are either, which is why I believe the Minnesota Vikings made sure they took care of Kirk Cousins' contract. because everybody knows the strongest love affair in the NFL is between Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins. Going back to my days when I covered DC, there was loyalty there. Obviously, Mike Shanahan was the coach then. Kyle was the offensive coordinator. And there's just always been that connection between these two. So while we fast forward here to the quarterback he does have on his roster, that being Jimmy Garoppolo, I think this is a make or break year here for Jimmy G. This just doesn't seem like it's been the best fit since the start. I think the genius of Kyle Shanahan, the kind of offense he can run with a quarterback that could be, that could do things. I can't imagine what that offense could look like compared to what we've seen with Jimmy G. But then again, you could make an argument too that Jimmy G could be more motivated than ever, especially knowing that perhaps the 49ers were sniffing around to see if, you know, his former friend or former teammate Tom Brady was perhaps maybe going to land there in the Bay Area.
Well, Dan, Jimmy G has said all the right things, but he also has to be feeling some type of way, right?
I actually think that what's transpired this past offseason could be a compliment to Jimmy G rather than a slap in the face. Yes, they flirted with Tom Brady, but they also chose him over Tom Brady. You know, from what we know, John Lynch has come out and said, yeah, we had the conversation, but we chose Jimmy Garoppolo. They also had two first-round picks. If they really wanted to, they could have used those two first-round picks and gone up and gotten one of those quarterbacks. Because I promise you, Justin Herbert is a fantastic fit for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do scheme-wise. And so they didn't do that either. They've only added to his weaponry. And so I think Jimmy G could look back and go, you know what? As much as the conversation about my job security has been a part of this offseason, they had two opportunities to justifiably, you can make the case to move on from me, and they chose me both times. And I think that's a breed of confidence or a vote of confidence from the organization. I think Diana makes some good points. I'd also say this, they're a batted ball on second and five from winning the Super Bowl. The batted down pass on the RPO that he's looking to hit Kittle and Chris Jones gets his hands up. If that ball gets completed, they probably milk away more clock or salt away more clock, and they win the Super Bowl. Maybe we're having a different conversation about Jimmy G. So, but I do think it's a huge year for him and his future in that organization, yes.
You know, guys, it's amazing how impatient we are. You know, we look at the number of years that Jimmy Garoppolo has been in this league, and we don't look at the number of starts that he's made. And he still hasn't made 32 starts in his career. He's right around that number there. So let's be a little patient with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I understand what Kyle Shanahan has done, okay? If Kirk Cousins was available, he would be the quarterback of the 49ers. He's not available. If Tom Brady would have chosen the 49ers, he possibly could have been the quarterback of the 49ers. And guess what? If you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you just got to tip your hat to Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. So to answer your question, Phil, should Jimmy G feel a certain way? No. The 49ers have invested in Jimmy Garoppolo. He's the quarterback. To Dan's point, he's one completion away from winning a Super Bowl. And I think everyone around the NFL, we are so impatient. So impatient. He's only made 2 years worth of starts. I get it. He's been in the league a long time. But at some point, allow him to mature and grow as a player. He is a perfect fit for that system. His athletic ability on the zone scheme, the outside zone, the boots, the waggles. Having talked to Kyle Shanahan, I can tell you this. Kyle and John Lynch have confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes. Would they have chosen Tom Brady? Yeah, there are 31 other teams that would have chosen Tom Brady also. That's not a knock against Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G is in a really good spot. He has to continue to get better and better. And guess what? If he continues to progress through these first 30, 32 starts, in the next 30 or 32, we'll be fine. So let's back off the Jimmy G train as if he is hot garbage. And Olasky probably hates that contract too, if he hates all the other money that's being paid around out there in the NFL. Hey.
Booker, I was going to say, if nothing else, Jimmy G's got that Diana Rossini money. So you know he's living pretty good out there,
man,
in the Bay Area.
Dan has got to be pulling his hair out when he looks at Jimmy G's contract.
That's right. New on NFL Live, by the way, Josh Gordon, who spent last year with the Seahawks, did indeed submit his letter for reinstatement to the NFL on Wednesday. As was previously reported by the NFL Network, Gordon claimed off of waivers his training in Seattle this offseason.